When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
On the season debut of Orlando Magic Pod Squad, the entire crew gets together as we discuss the Orlando Magic upcoming season, 35th in Orlando Magic history, the 2023-24 campaign, a quick recap of what happened over the summer, and then a look ahead to what this Orlando Magic team might be able to accomplish. A couple of new additions in the rookies and also Joe Ingles, and then year two for Rookie of the Year, Paolo Banchero, the big summer that was for Franz Wagner, winning the gold medal. What does that look like for him this year? Then also, knock on wood, fully healthy Magic squad going into training camp. So we touch on that and a big season outlook for this Orlando Magic team coming your way on the season debut of Orlando Magic Pod Squad.
This is Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Jalen Suggs.
This is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Pod Squad.
And welcome, everyone, to the debut edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, David Steele, Jeff Turner. You think George will be texting throughout the entire podcast or just to start?
He's got a lot going on.
Right in the middle of training camp. Right?
Well, I mean, you're catching us at a bad time, Dante. Not everybody has your schedule. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. We have a chance to do this.
But normally this time of year, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, you know what? I could probably do another month or two, kind of ease. I'm ready to go for the season. Are you guys feeling the same way? Are you guys ready for an NBA season?
I am. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to move on. I'm excited for the year, but it's been a long summer, hasn't it? I had a lot going on this summer and everything. I'm ready to move on.
Let's go.
Test out my new knee, see if I can go up and down airplane steps and things like that. So, yeah, I'm excited.
I can't wait for that first walk-off that Ty Easton tells you to go run down and do. That's going to be my favorite.
He'll sprint down the stairs.
Yeah, that's going to be. Although we won't need that. We won't need that this year with Kendra Douglas coming on board, which is going to be great.
Last year, there were a few nights where the game was in the balance in the fourth quarter, 30 seconds left. It could go either way.
You lost
and
your partner.
I looked at Jeff, and I could tell. You know, I'm kind of – JT was thinking – I kind of hope we don't pull this one out, because if we do, I got to walk down those 62 steps.
In Philadelphia, when I got to battle all those upset Philly fans that are coming up, and I'm trying to go down.
That's my favorite, when you're going upstream and the rest of the fans are going against the grain. Yeah, that was my favorite, watching JT try to bull his way down the aisle there. That was my favorite.
That's how painful the knee was.
Yes. Right.
Because we know that JT, wants magic. Victorious magic.
But
the knee hurts so bad.
You like doing the walk-offs, and you do a good job with those.
It's fun, but man, boy, that was a stretch.
But what a new lease on life for you, getting out there and walking these cities now. We like to get out and walk and go to our lunch spots, and you'll be chomping at the bit. You and David.
He was dragging that leg last year. Just dragging.
We can extend our radius a little bit now, I think, right?
Go more than two blocks.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, listen, I'll be traveling a little bit more this year, but I'm not doing those 5:30 a.m. coffee that you guys get. I'll get coffee with you, JT, but not that early.
That's not 5:30.
It's not 5:30.
Can you handle 7?
6?
Yeah, I can do 7. I can do 7. I can do that.
Well, you can't do 7.
7 I can do. Yeah.
Could you do 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Periodically. But I'm ready to go. And you hear the basketballs have been bouncing in the gym for the last couple months, really. But certainly it ramps up the last couple of weeks. And then –
you guys got to watch the first day of training camp, and you feel impressed. It was very competitive. There's 710 people in the gym.
That'll die down. That'll die down.
It'll pare down, but for right now, there's
600.
There's a lot of people here. It's a big staff.
But it's a big gym, so that's good. So there's room for everybody.
It's a big gym, but it was a spirited effort. I love what I saw. First glimpse of training camp yesterday.
Yeah, me too. A couple of things really impressed me. The energy level was off the charts. And I think Coach Mosley in his third year has really stepped up his coaching game. JT and I were talking about that. Just his command, his presence in the huddle, the things that he says, challenging players. It feels a little different, a little more, you know, there are expectations for the first time since Jamal has been the head coach. Expectations to make the playoffs this year. And I think everybody feels that down on the court. You get that sense that there's a sense of urgency and a sense that we got to do things the right way and we have to be pros. And Coach Mosley really put that forward. And then, Jeff, when we watched the team scrimmage, they divided it up day one into, you know, three or four groups, I guess, scrimmaging. And when one was versus two, it was really competitive. I mean, it was like an NBA playoff game in terms of the intensity, wasn't it?
It is. You know, what's interesting is, it's when you're in camp and you're playing again, it's the same guys every day, right? You're going up against the same people. They kind of have an idea of, you know what the team's going to do and things like that. So
we got a special guest too. While we're recording Magic Pod Squad.
We were just
Pod Squad talking
here.
About
we're just talking about
it.
Coach Mosley.
Let me ask you a question. I just said. Hey, listen. I just said a minute ago, just right before you walked in.
Right before you came in.
I sense that there's a sense of urgency that you feel and that you're communicating to the team. You've upped your game as a head coach coming into this preseason.
Well, you know, you're asking these guys to grow, get better, and as a coach you have to grow and get better and find out ways and where you can improve, and if you're asking this group to grow and get better, you have to do it yourself. I don't know if it's a sense of urgency as it is more of maturity. I think there's got to be a level of maturity. I told them we can still have fun, play with a sense of joy, but you know, we have to learn from the lessons that we got hit with last year.
You know what I like? There was a lot of people in the gym yesterday, a lot of people during training camp, but there's a lot of energy around this group. Are you feeling that? Do you get amped up for the start of training camp?
I do. I absolutely do. I think just being in the gym with these guys, being able to have fun with them and you know, help show them the process of things day in and day out. And I think the more energy that we bring as coaches, the more energy that these guys feed off of. Now that's not taken away from the detailed work that we're trying to do, but you got to have fun with the game.
You know, I've been thinking about the first unit, the second unit, things that you probably lose sleep over at night. But just what would that look like? I've been thinking, you know, all through the summer, what is this going to look like when they hit the floor? And we saw on day one what it looks like. That second unit. They're highly competitive, and even the third unit. I mean, you've got a lot of depth on this roster.
And that's what we said, and I probably said it way too many times during media day, compete. But you looked at the practice, and it was that. I mean, from the guys that are, possibly going to be with our G League team, they are coming in ready to go. We had, four teams in practice, which we have yet to have since we've been here. So it's one group doesn't get it right. Next group, step off and figure out what you got to get better at and then come back on. But I think it's been great just from day one that they're competing the right way.
When will Dante mature is my question, Jamal.
I know. Since I've been here, I've seen growth.
Okay.
Have you?
Is it just the gray beard that you see the growth in? Or okay.
That's part of it. Gray beard helps. But yeah. I think there's times on the air that, he does say some very mature things.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Not often.
Not often. But there's enough that, you can see the growth in there. You got to celebrate the small wins.
That's true.
You have to celebrate the small
That's
wins.
A good point. And at some point, Jamal will be fine with us just taking over his conference room and doing the podcast in here.
That's right.
So he doesn't.
You guys have this.
You don't have anything better to do today,
no,
do you?
No, there's not practice starting in about 42 minutes.
Okay. Go. You got to go.
Listen, if you need us out, we'll get out of here right now.
We are not using this conference room. Our coaches just pack themselves either into our video room or in my office, and we just make it a close-knit group. We're okay.
All right, last thing before we let you go. Yes. Is Brett a little obnoxious with the gold medal? He wears it to practice. He's walking around with it. He's got it hanging in his office. Has it become a bit much?
He has bragging rights. Let him have it. I'm not mad at it at all. Like, go to town. Keep the reminder. Keep the reminder what he helped them do. I think it's great. I'm not mad at it at all. Like, I think we talk about competing. They won that competition.
They won that. That's so awesome. Good luck. We can't wait to see. I love the energy, and I know Magic fans are excited too,
Coach.
That's
not stopping. There's a reason they should be excited, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
We got to save this for when Jamal's actually on the podcast. Yes, so let him go to work.
This doesn't count as his guest.
No, this does not count. I saw what you were doing. That's what. No, we got.
No, you
no,
can't
we got to get.
Chuck Daly
no,
on
we
got to. this is one of my shows, right?
So this does not count.
It does. It, you can still.
It counts for half. It definitely counts for half.
Is this anything?
It's not.
No, this is
not
nothing.
Yet. Well, actually, you picked it up. It was not anything until you came into the room.
It really was nothing until you walked in the room.
It was anything.
Yeah, it was literally nothing. It was literally nothing.
Yeah. All right. I'll let you guys get back to it. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, we appreciate it, Coach. That's good.
Who else is behind door number two? Anybody else back there? That's perfect.
For so many years, we didn't get to do these live. We get to do it on a Zoom. We're looking at each other.
This is a lot more fun.
Monitor. This is nice. This is a lot more fun.
I really miss Zoom, don't you, Jeff?
Yes, I really miss.
You'll probably still have to do some of these on Zoom, but that's okay.
Well, we did 45 Wait. Zooms. All we saw was David's Adam's apple.
couldn't figure the camera.
Sally, I can't. I turn this thing on. I can't. Can get the dog out of here.
Coach was a,
come on,
he
coach.
Was a fixture.
Yeah,
but you know what's great? I got a buddy of mine whose kid plays flag football. And he was playing against Jamal Mosley's.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm out there Friday night, every Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're out there with all the kids.
Yeah.
You're seeing
Pop.
He's taking pictures. He sends me the next text is a picture of Coach Mosley with his son's team. So he's there watching his kid, but he's taking pictures with all the other teams and their kid. I mean, he gets it. He's great in the community.
He's unbelievable.
Everybody's embraced
unbelievable.
It.
Unbelievable.
He's so easy to root for. But now, guys, he gets the full arsenal.
Yeah.
He gets to use everybody that he wants this year.
When it came around, and I didn't know what you guys were each going to say because I don't prepare, obviously, for the pod squad,
We know this, right?
That's our history. But that was going to be what I said was how Jamal's just his energy and his leadership and the way he was going about his business yesterday. Not that we haven't seen him step up in times before, but it was just different yesterday. And I think it's what you guys said. Like, we have a full roster, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. Everybody is going into camp healthy. And we have four full teams out there. And these are things that Jamal and his staff has not had since he's been here for the first 2 years. So it is a very exciting time. I don't know how these guys will respond to the expectations because we haven't had them really for any of these guys that have been here. So it'll be interesting to see how everybody steps up.
Really, if you think about and this, you know, we laugh, but we want to get Jamal on for a podcast. I just want to talk about his summer. Like, think about this past summer as a basketball coach in the NBA. He's the head coach. He gets to coach the select team.
Yeah,
they're in the you know, they're in the Olympic development part of the thing. And then he spends time with that coaching staff, that world championship coaching staff led by Steve Kerr, Ty Lue, Eric Spoelstra. You know, I mean, just think about the, you know, there's some serious coaching knowledge there and what he was able to take away from that. You know, I just love to be a fly on the wall and just listen, you know, when those guys are meeting. So, you know, I think that would be fun to just get his thoughts
on how
all that went and everything. It has to make him a better coach for the Orlando Magic. And I, you know, that's one of the things I want to see, you know, what, you know, we're going to see that, you know, one of the things that he's told me is like, and we read some of this is how selfless all of those guys were. The humility of being in that room with them from Steve Kerr, all the guys we mentioned, you know, eventual Hall of Fame NBA coaches, Hall of Fame college coaches being around Mark Few and Matt Painter.
How do you not pick something up?
Exactly. So, you know, those are the kind of things that I want to watch, you know, behind the scenes and see, you know, those things, what he learned and how he brings that to the table.
And not only that, all the time he's spending with these guys individually as players too, in addition to what he's doing with the, you know, he went to Abu Dhabi or not Abu Dhabi, he went to the Philippines, Manila, and he went to Germany, and he went to, you know, LA to be with, it just, he's going all over the place to spend time individually with these guys. He cares about where this group is going, and it's mostly the same group, which is also, I would think, an advantage going into camp, because you don't have to spend as much time teaching the same group what you've already hopefully have gotten through to them for the last, you know, season two, and, you know, that type of thing.
To your point, the continuity is big, I think, too. But also, Jamal has spent, as we know, the last 2 years really cultivating relationships
right. mm-hmm.
with these people. And he has a servant type personality. I mean, he gets to know you. He cares about you.
Yeah.
The players know this. So now when things are, you know, amped up a little bit, he has a relationship with these guys. So if he comes down on a guy in practice for this or that, they know where he's coming from, you know, in his heart. They know that he has their best interest in his
huge,
mind.
Huge.
So I think, you know, the 2 years of developing relationships, and now you amp it up like he said he's doing, I think that really plays to our advantage as a team.
I can't help but think, when you mentioned getting together with all the coaches, you mentioned Chuck Daly. When the bill would come after dinner, and he'd say, well, your payment is, what'd you say, David? You just had dinner with Chuck Daly.
That's right.
I wonder if any of those guys look at it that way.
Oh, boy.
You just had dinner with Chuck Daly.
He was something.
Oh, my gosh. I actually forgot about that.
One of the all-time greats. Yeah. You know, we love these competitive battles, right, for minutes. And Jeff Weltman said it. Coach Mosley said it. These guys have said it. Like, nothing's going to be given, right? So now, I think in the years past, we're in a different place where we had to get a look at guys. We had to know who we had. And you had to play guys based on even where they were drafted or where their contract situation is, because you had to know, right? You had to know what you had. And you still have a little bit of that. You still have some guys you got to get a look at. But for the most part, he's going to be able to play whoever earns the minutes. And that's what they were saying in media day. Like, these, nothing's going to be given. These minutes are going to be earned. We love it as fans and broadcasters and all that stuff. Jeff, do the players love it? I don't think these battles are going to be legitimate. And I think these guys are going to, these minutes are going to have to be earned.
I see, as a player, as a competitor, you do, right?
You do.
Like,
okay.
You
okay.
absolutely do love it, because if there are battles for playing time, then that's on you as a player,
yeah, right? Right,
right. What you don't want is you go to a team where there's already a pecking order, right? Like, you're a young player, say, on a veteran team.
Yeah, right.
You know what's going to happen, right? And so I've always thought, you know, if I've got a chance to battle for minutes, like, if it's open, if there's a chance, then that excites me, because, you know, I control that on how I play.
That's
in
good.
The practice, what I do. You know, trying to figure out, what are the coaches? How do I get on the floor? What are they looking for? What do they need from me in order for me to get time? I think that's healthy. You know, that's great for a team. And that keeps everybody on edge, because it also, you know, we know going in, you know, we figured, and I think we saw it on the first day, you know, the expectation is the lineup will be the same. The starting lineup will be the same as the way it finished last year, right? But at the same time, because it's competitive, those guys have to know that I still got to produce. This is not given to me. If I don't, then these guys are hungry. They'll be right there. They're waiting to get my minutes.
You got to like that. You got Gary Harris, most likely, maybe the only spot that, only because of injuries, he was kind of in and out. But that's probably maybe, and I don't even think that spot's up for grabs per se, but you know, everything else is pretty well locked. You know, it's going to be Markel, Paolo, it's going to be Franz. So you would think probably Gary Harris slips into that spot. And then behind him, you've got depth now. You've got guys that are there that, you know, just because Franz is starting doesn't mean Jonathan Isaac and Joe Ingles aren't coming for that spot, right? I think that can only help you.
The spot all may these not guys. Change, but the minutes.
But, right.
That's right. There
right.
you go. There you go, yeah.
And, you know, like, Franz is going to be on the floor.
Of course,
so
of course.
So if you're Jonathan Isaac or Joe Ingles, if you want time, then you got to produce, right? Like, you got to, you know, if we're going to play Franz 35 minutes, or are we going to play him 32 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, and who takes up the
you
slack
get a few
in
more
those
minutes.
3 minutes? You want those, you know, they all count.
Right? I think those, you actually just touched on the two guys that I think are going to make our season really interesting, are Jonathan Isaac and Joe Ingles, because how does that affect the minutes maybe down the stretch in February, March, and April for Paolo and Franz, right? Like we clearly know that Paolo and Franz are 1A and 1B on this team. But like you said, do they have to play 38, 39, 40 minutes a night? Right. Or are you able to get 15, 16 quality minutes out of Jonathan this year? I mean, right now he looks fantastic during the first few days of camp. Joe Ingles at 36 years old, like, and he looked really good yesterday. An element that's been missing from our team for the last few years is somebody that, if I know that ball's going up, it's going in. it was interesting. So right. I do think that the depth of the Magic has definitely gotten better. If you can add those two guys and get something out of them, I really like where we're sitting right now for sure.
And then you've got Cole and Jalen
really fighting
on the second
competing.
Unit.
They are competing.
They want minutes. I mean, it's clear that they want to earn their minutes, and you know that's what they've got to do. Those are two talented guys.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen's a difference maker on the defensive end, and Cole is, you know, automatic offense, instant offense. So they bring something to the table too. That second unit was impressive. It has been impressive in camp for sure. It's all about staying healthy, right?
It's about staying healthy. But in an ideal world, Cole, you know, he can be sixth man of the year in the conversation, right? He can be in that conversation for sixth man of the year.
Sure, he's going to score. Offense. He's going to be, you know, that's what voters look for. How many points?
And Orlando has to win too. Like Cole can put up a lot of numbers as the sixth man, but we have to win some to get recognition.
Even if he doesn't win the award, that's his
right. It should
be sixth man of the year, and Jalen Suggs can be one of the best defensive players. I mean, think about the defense you're coming off the bench with in that second unit with Jalen Suggs and J.I.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
What do we need out of Jalen Suggs this year?
You know, the simple thing is that guy that's a difference maker on the defensive end. And we've seen that, right? Like a guy you can put in and he changes things defensively. You know, get out, run the floor, make plays, things like that. You know, I think the scoring to me for Jalen is a bonus. I think he is an impact player. He can be, you know, Brian Hill says this all the time, I think, in our pre and post game show, is there are just not a lot of guys in the NBA that you can throw out there. It's hard to stop guys individually, right? And there's just not a lot of stoppers. A guy that you can, you know, put on somebody and you don't have to double team, right? Jalen can be one of those guys. He is just so good defensively, I think. You know, obviously there's still some learning to be done. You know, maybe he gambles a little bit too much at times and everything, but that comes with maturity. But his physical gifts, his speed, his quickness, his hands, those things are all there. I think he's a difference maker when he comes into the game. You could put him on a high-scoring guard and change things, change the momentum of the game if a guy's hot. In my opinion, I think that's where that's his biggest gift.
There aren't a ton of those, right?
No.
A ton of those guys.
Yeah. And you mentioned Brian Hill, former Magic head coach, NBA Finals, knows his stuff for sure. We know Brian knows what he's talking about. He thinks, we talked about it just earlier this week, that Jalen is pretty much the X factor, one of the big X factors for the team this year, like we're talking about. And he says he just needs to be, this would be awesome, an elite defender, which he is, and low turnover, high assist. And then scoring just whatever, you know, you score is just what you get just by doing those other things. So I thought that was pretty interesting. If he can, you know, make that his focus, it could be really good. I know in the first day of scrimmage, an interesting anecdote, Anthony Black was bringing a ball up the floor and his third unit, and the rookie's on the third unit because of the depth of the team. He's a pretty talented young guy. And Jalen was just crawling him, just up in him. I mean, A.B., who's pretty talented ball handler, had trouble getting the ball into the offense. And Jamal stopped practice and said, look, Jalen Suggs was crawling into A.B. He said, forget about, you know, the play at this point. Somebody's got to come and help A.B. away from Jalen Suggs. Set a screen, free him up. But, you know, Jalen is, like Jeff said, he's an elite defensive player on the ball. He's pretty special in that regard. Only a couple in the league.
Well, and he's part of that second unit. You guys mentioned Joe Ingles. Do we know anything else about Joe? Has anyone started to do any deep dives? The thing that blew me away, he's going into year 10 in the NBA. He played 10 years overseas. His first, I think, 6 years in the NBA, he missed 7 games. He said he wants to play all 82 this year. This guy's durable.
Yeah.
Almost 40% from three, right? I mean, what an addition in a guy like Joe. And I haven't had a ton of interaction with him, but he seems like a vocal guy. He has no problem getting on guys when it's warranted, and it all comes from the right place. I mean, he seems to be a terrific addition.
He is definitely somebody that the guys have gravitated towards. It just seems like they look to him on the court. Like when a play is over and then that group goes off to the side, you can see Joe is one of the guys that is doing most of the talking. You need to be here and you should be over here and whatever else. And so he is definitely, and the guys are all engaged when he speaks. He has a good pedigree. I mean, he's been, like you said, this is his 10th year, but he had 10 years away from here too. The guys are looking for that leadership. That helps. That has to help Jamal and his staff too, because after a while, you need somebody else to police you, right? Not Jeff, like you need somebody in that locker room that's capable of leading without direction from the coach, and he can lead that right and is contributing, right? He's got to be, and I do think Joe will contribute. Like I think in the right, he knows his role. He's not looking to play 33 minutes anymore, right? You know, like he's coming in, he's looking to provide some leadership. He wanted to get his family, he said it to the staff, right? He was at one of our full staff events and he's like, you know, it's time to get my wife out of the cold. I put her through enough, and but I also like that where this young roster was going. I had a good relationship with Jamal, so I think all of Joe's intentions are in the right place. I think he's a solid addition to what we're trying to do.
It's interesting. So like at last night's practice, it was not as combative. You know, it was more teaching and things like that. So what happens is, and you guys know with your own children and everything, when they're in school and everything, right? Like when you're young, like you don't really want to raise your hand and ask a question, right? Like you don't want to ask a question because you don't want the attention on you, or you don't want to feel like you're not getting it and everything. And listen, these guys on the basketball, on the NBA team at camp, you're being thrown so much stuff, right? Learning, knowing the plays, you know, you got a playbook, you got to learn and everything. But here's Joe Ingles, right? He's seen everything, but he'll stop Jamal and say, wait, let me ask this. Let me be clear. Let me ask this question and everything. And Jamal will respond and say, that's a great question, right? So it's a little thing, and it might be that, you know, because he's, you know, maybe we're doing things differently than Joe has seen before. But it also, from a leadership standpoint, it frees up the young guys to say, you know what, if Joe Ingles is a veteran player, is asking,
I can ask a question too, right?
Right? It's okay for me to stop practice and ask a question. So that's a little thing that I noticed.
Well, and you've been in that situation.
Absolutely.
You know how scary that can be.
Absolutely. So you just, you know, it's just something that you see when you watch. And I think it's why, as George mentioned, the guys are gravitating to him because he's just one of them. You know, there's, I don't know, is there 10 years between he and the next guy? Maybe not he and
yes.
Gary.
Right? It's Gary. Gary is the next, because I just did this before we got on here, looked at it. Joel Glass wanted to know our average age going into the season, and it's 24.6 something I have written down. But
so Joe and Gary skewed
because of Joe,
Joe is 36, and the next closest one is Gary at 29.
Yeah.
So Joe obviously skews what our average age is, but we still have, you know, you still have 9 players on the roster that are 24 or younger. You still have, I think it's 10 players on the roster with 3 years or less experience. This is still a super young team just because we've watched these guys all together for the last 2-3 years. Like, you know, Wendell is 25, 26. It's still such a young group. So you're going to definitely lean on Joe's experience.
It struck me when Wendell, this is year 6 he's going into, has never been to the playoffs.
Right.
He said, we're hoping, because all the talk was playoffs and expectations.
What is Wendell, 24?
We'd love to
he's 25, I believe. 25.
Jay, I just turned 26.
26. You know, just turned 26 yesterday. So like that, it's still a young, you know, guys that are not, and they're not even close to their prime yet.
That's why the Joe Ingles and Gary Harris, they're so important.
Very important.
Yeah. So important. I'm thinking back to the mid-90s, Jeff, to the Shaq and Penny were 22 and 23. People probably forget how young Shaq and Penny were. And that team wouldn't have done what it did without Horace Grant, Donald Royal, right. Jeff Turner, Brian Shaw. The veterans are what elevated that team. Shaq and Penny were great. They were superstars. But they weren't ready to make the kind of jump that team made.
until the veterans really pulled together. So, you know, that's what Joe and Gary can do for this team. They can take it to, I don't know what, I'm not saying it's an NBA Finals team,
but
whatever the level was before, you know, you put them in the mix, they can take it to the next level.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Markell's saying it's an NBA Finals team. I love that. Yeah. We'll get.
We'll
get to Paolo and Franz, but I
we Markell, did we did talking points before media day. By the way, I just want to let you guys know that was not on the talking points checklist. No,
I like
that. Was
that
not on
set the bar high. Set the bar high. I could be wrong, David, but is there? You know, we know, and Jeff, you've documented it great, what Markell brings to this team, and he gets you what you need when you need it. In those first 25 games, you didn't have him. You're 5-20. He comes back. You rattle off a great finish to the season. But am I wrong? I get a feeling from Markell that something special is coming this year. I think he means business with his haircut, right? So first of all, you just look at the guy. He's in great shape. He's talking about maybe we can be a team that comes out of the East. He's talking about how young he is. People haven't even seen his full potential. He's just got there's a certain way about him. He's always a confident guy anyway. But to me, there seems to be a – am I wrong about that? Did you,
well, you know
pick
what's
up on
so
any of
unique?
That with Markell?
Yeah, I totally agree. But what's really unique about his story is that the number one pick in the draft, right? Number one pick in 2017. So this is, what, his seventh year in the NBA?
Yep.
And he had the shoulder, the bizarre shoulder injury. He broke his toe going into camp last year. So here he is. What is he, 24, 25?
He was 25.
25. He's still, you know, sub physical prime in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, you think 27, 28, 29, 30, that's when you hit your prime. So he's still relatively young. He's a former number one pick. He's had all of these setbacks. And now he comes into camp, like you said, he shaved his head and –
I like it. That's what I said to you.
There's
all
a look
business.
About him that, that looks very special. I think he's going to have a great year.
So what could that be? If it's his big year that we think he's capable of, what does that look like? Because it feels like he could be huge this year.
Yeah, I agree. You know, people always, you know, in the national media, maybe the fans at times, always focus on what his weaknesses are, right? But you forget, you know, about what he does, what are his strengths and everything. And, you know, I say it all the time, you know, he gives you what you need when you need it. He makes those plays. He makes people better around him. I think for Markell, one of the things that he's really good, off the ball, he's one of the best defenders. I mean, he's got great anticipation. You know, his ability, use his size and his strength and everything to really get into the basketball, become a better on-the-ball defender, I think will be a huge step for him. But that comes from feeling good, healthy, you know, that he's healed. I just think you know, if you got Markell on the floor 32, 33 minutes a game, you've got something special. I feel that way. So I'm really looking forward to
him having
a big
year. Because the way he moves, his vision, his everything.
He just moves differently than other people, you know, other guards. He's got a feel for the game that I really like. I think he makes people better when he's on the floor.
I don't think there's any secret. We got a guy in Paolo. We got a guy in Franz. But, George, I'm watching Media Day, and I'm just watching every head gravitate towards every move Paolo made, every move Franz made. I mean, to me, we got two guys. I think we got, you said it, 1A.
Yeah, 1A, 1B.
Interchangeable, right? There's a different feel about those guys this year. There was on Media Day. I think we're going to see it. I think there's going to be some national attention coming for this Magic team. I know we got the one national TV game.
Woohoo.
We want to do every game.
Woohoo.
Every game is on Bally Sports.
No offense, I want more than one.
Oh, no, I hear you. But I think there's the word's out. You got the reigning rookie of the year. Franz got a gold medal. I know you're not going to hide those guys.
I think both of those guys come in with a, you know, even more confidence than they had before. I mean, the summer and the way they finished the season last year, and especially the summer for Franz and for Paolo. I mean, Paolo was a major impact player on that Team USA squad, and you could tell the difference when Paolo, at least I could, that when he was in the game and when he wasn't in the game. That could be just because I'm biased and I wanted to see him in the game more. Yes. But I think they come into the season knowing what is expected of them on the floor and in the locker room. I think they're going to take on more of a leadership role. And I think it's just going to come naturally to those guys. And the rest of the team does look to those guys to take. They know that we're only going to go as far as those guys are going to take us, right? So they definitely have come into camp with a little more confidence, a little more swagger. And they showed it yesterday in the first couple of days here of camp. It's been really, really solid.
You saw Shaq when he came here. You just mentioned him. You saw Dwight when he came here. Now you look back at what Paolo did as a rookie, right? 20 points, 7 rebounds, and the way he played and performed and got to the free throw line. That's year one, right? How impressed are you when you look back at what he did and how much better? It's amazing, but how much better he can even get to?
Oh, yeah. Historically, he's one of the best rookies in the last, well, I've been around 35 years, so
yeah.
I can say definitely that he's right there with, you know, the top rookies that have come into this league, especially when you consider his age and only one year. Back in the 80s and 90s, you know, Shaq played 3 years at LSU. That was a different, that was a whole different deal, him coming into the NBA.
Sure.
But what Paolo is doing is just incredible, really. And he's still 20. He doesn't turn 21 until November. So he and Franz, you're right, 1A, 1B, and I think they both could have multiple all-star careers.
You know, Franz, it hasn't slowed him down. He's like three summers in a row now, two NBA seasons. Guy hasn't missed any games, right? Knock on wood. And stood there at Media Day and said how great he feels. The guy just wants to play, right? The guy just wants to play. And what's next for him? I mean, we look at, you still continue to marvel at what Franz can do. What will we ask of Franz this year?
Everything.
still everything.
All of it.
Still everything.
Yeah.
But he embraces that.
He does. You know,
we laugh about that, but he embraces that. He wants to be great. And I think that's what makes Franz who he is. You know, we didn't know that, right? He's coming in as the eighth pick. You know, we knew he had skills and things like that. But the one thing you don't know is how great these guys want to be. What, you know, what's that fire? What's that internal part? You know, you're just guessing, you know, if you're Jeff Weltman on that one. But that's the thing that stands out. You know, that's why he's playing all summer for the, you know, German team. He wants to be great. He just wants to compete and wants to win. So, yeah, I think we're going to expect everything. Every part of his game, you know, he's going to expect, and thus, you know, we will, that he'll improve in every aspect of the game.
Just the fact that he wants to be on the floor all the time, and Paolo is the same way too. A lot of our guys are the same way, but the fact that Franz is just out. I mean, he was angry that he missed those games in the World Cup, but he was really upset and did everything he could to get back toward the end there. So the fact that he wants to be out there for all 82. And the fact that we know and his teammates know that he's going to do everything he can to be out there for all 82. I mean, that alone is enough for me.
All right. The thing I want to end on is the Eastern Conference. You sit on where we are. What's it going to take to get in? Everyone says playoffs, and that'd be great. Expectations. Well, you know, let's just build on what we did. Playoffs would be great. Let's be in the hunt. I think we're a playoff team. I think we can be. But first, did it kill you that Miami wasn't able to land Damian Lillard?
I was really upset. Yeah, that really stuck in my craw for a couple days that they failed on that. Yeah,
I felt like that's where he was headed.
I know Jeff was sad. Jeff was really upset.
Did that bother you, Jeff, that they weren't able to land?
I mean, but it wasn't their fault. Listen,
right? That's true. They did everything they could, right?
Wasn't it though?
Yeah.
Portland did it to them. You know, it wasn't their fault. That's where it is. You know?
Which credit Portland. I mean, what a haul for Lillard and then to spin Holiday, and now they'll probably flip Brogdon and all that. That was a heck of a haul. But it seems like they're their own East. You've got, right? You've got Milwaukee and Boston with the moves that they've made. And then you've got everyone else. But why can't Orlando be what Cleveland did, what New York did 2 years ago? Why can't we be a team that's certainly in the conversation and fighting for a play-in spot this year?
Well, I think the reason that you would say it's going to be tough is because Cleveland is still good.
Well,
and
correct.
New York is – they haven't taken a step back.
Right, right.
And you're still going to have Atlanta with Trae Young and a pretty good roster. And so it's going to be hard to move
yeah.
– you know, it's just not that easy to move rapidly up. It's happened before. Phoenix did it a couple of years ago. They made a huge jump. So maybe our roster mirrors what Phoenix was able to do. We'll see. But to jump from 34 wins to – you know, a mid-40s would be, after you jump 12 wins from 1 year to the next, to do another 10 or 12, that's a big ask.
With basically the same roster,
right,
too.
Right.
It's not like we've added a major.
And some good rookies.
Right. Well, I mean, you haven't added like a major free agent that you look at and just go,
Having said that, if we can stay healthy all year, we can definitely make a jump.
Well, that's it right there.
Just don't know how big.
You know, it's always interesting, like in the past, you know, we start the season, you always look at the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, and you look, okay, well, who's still, you know, thinking lottery and things mm-hmm. like that. If you go through the East and you start looking, it's just not a, you know, I mean, you might say that, you know, Washington is completely retooled,
right?
Everything like that. But, you know, the Pacers are going to want to compete, right?
Like, Charlotte wants to be better.
You know, they have to be, right? Like yeah. the expectations are there. So I don't know that there are, you know, you look at the East and you're not saying, oh, well, that's a lottery team. You know, there's not that many as maybe we've seen in the past. So I think that's what's, you know, we can make great strides and still be, you know, in that 36 to 40 range and everything, which might be good enough to get in or not. But it will be a struggle. We could play better and we will play better. But the wins, it's going to be it's going to be important from day one.
Yeah.
I think.
Just because we improved 12 games this year doesn't give us the guarantee that we're going to improve 12 games.
Right.
Our last year, 12 games to this year, it just doesn't work on that. We wish it did.
Right.
It just doesn't go on that steady incline like you want it to go.
We may not want to get too deep into this because I know we're pretty much exhausted our time and probably the listeners' attention span.
You mean the listener?
But the listener, that's out there. But
he turned us off after Jamal.
We've already lost our listener.
We're already
no
out.
More bonus guests.
Oh, well.
But the in-season tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What factor is that going to play? Jeff, I know you have some thoughts.
I think it's huge for a team like us. Like, if you look traditionally at the really good teams, you know, and you think about it, we talked about the East, you know, Milwaukee's got a new coach. They're adding Damian Lillard into that. So there's an adjustment period. Well, this in-season tournament's going to come quick. Boston is kind of in the same. But they're at the end, with the talent they have, they're going to be right there. But early in the season, you know.
Maybe not.
So I think, you know, for us, like.
And you're saying we might be going to Vegas? Are you all saying we might be going to Vegas?
Yeah, I'm saying
it. I like it.
Yeah.
But I've heard, you know, Paolo say that's a goal, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's a goal. And I think that's an outstanding goal. Because in order to do that, you're going to be playing in competitive games early in the season, which for a young team like ours, I think, oh, my God, how valuable is that?
But explain to fans. You think they will? You think everybody's going to embrace this, we feel, right? The players and those extra tournament games in November might have a little extra meaning?
I think so. Okay. I think anytime if you're a competitor and you're playing for something early, that hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, David will tell you this. I'm a traditionalist. Don't mess up a good thing,
sure,
right? Don't
sure.
add things. You know, I was not on board with the play-in tournament,
right.
but I love it now. I think
yep,
it's
yep.
and I think this this is one of those things where I was like, eh, but the more I've thought about it and the value of it, and I, again, my lens is for the Orlando Magic young roster. I think it's huge to be, you know, these kind of games playing for something. If you can get through the pool play and then those, you know, the quarterfinals, semifinals, getting to Vegas, as you pointed out, I think that's huge for a young team like us to have that early in the season to be shooting for.
I haven't looked at the other team's schedules when it comes to the play-in games. Like, I didn't like the way where some of our play-in games fall. Like, I don't like the fact that the game at Chicago is our third game in four nights, but that's a play-in game or not a play-in, an in-season tournament game. I keep calling it the play-in. It's in-season tournament. I didn't like that. The games are very close. I think another one is the home game against, it might be Boston. I think that's another one where it's third game in four nights. It just seemed like, why couldn't those be spread out a little?
Like two in the afternoon or something? Too,
yeah, so two in the time. Afternoon. Yeah, but like, so I, you know, I haven't looked at if every other team's games are like that, but I know it goes from the 3rd to the 28th. Ours seems to be over in about 6 days. Like our in-season tournament ends in about 6 days. So I don't know what it's like for, I just hope it doesn't hurt us.
That's a great point, but I was thinking about like that Chicago game, right? Yep. Like that's our first one, isn't it? Like
we play at Brooklyn and it's the same road trip. Yes. The same road trip is at Brooklyn.
Two in that same road trip. Yeah.
At Brooklyn and then at Chicago.
That Chicago thing, how that sets up very much like a playoff type deal, right?
Sure.
We're going to see them the game before,
right?
And now going into this game with significant meaning, you've just played them, you've got tape, you know, you can make adjustments and everything. Again, for a young team, that growth, just going through that, I think that's huge. You know, as you're looking down the road. So
what a wild setup, though. You have one home game, then you're gone. You go out west, then you come back, then you go to Mexico City. Now you're playing tournament in season.
It's rough.
Games.
You like the schedule, David? You like
crazy. Go to Vegas.
No, it's kind of crazy. I don't think we've ever. I know we never went.
We've never done it. I've already looked at it. This is the earliest
home opener.
Earliest we've ever had a West Coast trip. We already did that research before the season started. So yeah, it's gonna be rough.
Another thing to overcome. But hey, you know that's what makes it fun. And the thing that I'll end with is Arne Kander, who is now the high performance director, who is one of one. Human being, there is one Arne Kander. And I encourage everybody, he's phenomenal. He's great to speak with. He was with that Pistons team that won, 05? I think when they won in 05. He sees a lot of similarities with this group. Not saying we're going to be championship team this year, but on that trajectory, the way they work, how close they are, you know, and you got one or two guys and then everybody knows their roles. He sees a lot of similarities with that Pistons team and this team with their work ethic, which I thought was pretty interesting.
We'll take that.
Absolutely.
Take those.
But do yourself a favor and talk to Arne, because that's a great dude. That's a great dude. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad. Let's have a great season, fellas.
I'm ready to go.
All right, let's go.
Here we go.
We'll see you next time.